This episode of Litty Titty Book Club brought to you by Mama Mango. I could have sworn I hit record. I don't think so. Thanks, Mama Mango. Welcome to Litty Titty Book Club Take 2, because the first time it didn't record.
Like we said, you're going to listen to Amanda and I figure this out.
I am baffled.
So we recorded a whole ass episode.
40
except
minutes?
Except we didn't.
40 minutes.
So, oh well, we get to try all over again.
Maybe we'll be a little more fluent.
Yeah, now that we've kind of, you know, already dove in,
I still am like, what?
Let's take a second plunge. So we're not going to do an evening meeting again because we can't be trusted with the technology. And next meeting will be coffee again. Yeah.
Oh my God.
We take it back.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Amanda. Welcome to the Litty Titty Book Club,
where we read, review, and rant a little bit about books once a month because we're moms. And who has time to do this again? Obviously us.
We do. Anyways, so let's dive in all over again for Amanda and I. First time for y'all. We're going to be diving into two books today. Hell of a Book by Jason Mott, as we mentioned in our previous episode. Mm-hmm. And Broken Country by Clara Leslie Hall. And that's the one that I was kind of talking about a little bit last episode. Amanda read it. I'm pretty sure a few other people read it. So we have a few listeners maybe that are excited to hear our little snippet on that one. But we just want to say thanks for listening to our first episode. Thanks for coming back and listening to the second one.
And yeah, we're going to talk about Hell of a Book first. So that follows an unnamed African-American author on a book tour across the U.S. So he's traveling, doing book interviews with his limo driver close by. What's the driver's name?
Don't remember. Like 2 months ago.
2 months ago. Yeah. But also it was like 40 minutes ago. So as you're reading the book, you're never really sure what's reality and what's his imagination, especially when he starts seeing someone who he refers to as the kid a lot throughout the story. So the chapters alternate between the author's story and the story about a young black boy and his family growing up in the rural South. This book came out in 2021. It won the 2021 National Book Award for Fiction, which is cool. I don't know what it is, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Congrats, Jason Mott. So I mean, my first impression of the book. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this part was crazy. And I didn't know this because I want to say this wasn't included on the book anywhere. But the full title of the book is Hell of a Book, or the Altogether Factual Hola Bonafide Story of Big Dreams, Hard Luck, American-Made Mad Kid.
Crazy title.
And that's a crazy long title. It wasn't anywhere on the book. So that was a little a little surprise for me.
Trivia question.
Yeah, that's a great trivia question. Well, I would never remember that for trivia. But first impressions. So Amanda, like, what were your first impressions of the book?
I really liked it. It was confusing as hell.
Yeah.
There's so many like magical realism things that are happening throughout the book, which is cool, but it's also like, is this supposed to be a magic book or is this a set in reality? Or which I guess kind of makes you feel like the author, right?
Yep. That's right. Yeah. Cause the author is all about.
That's a realization I just had.
Thank God we took another recording. But honestly though, it's true because the author doesn't know reality from his imagination sometimes.
Yes.
And so as the reader, we're going through the exact same thing a little bit. And it's up to us to decide, like, is this part true? Is that part true?
And it deals with such real scary things that you're like, God, I hope this isn't true.
Yep. But then, it's like I felt like a detective while I was reading it. Like, trying to keep notes like, okay, so this is this person's relative. That happened to them. Oh, but maybe it didn't happen to them.
Oh, you felt like me when we read We Used to Live Here.
Yes. So the deep dive that you took. She had like a notebook. Like she was like Detective Amanda.
It was a crazy book.
It was a crazy book. And this was kind of the same because it was like definitely a mind bender.
Yeah. But this book deep dives into like, not deep dives, but it's kind of like an easy pill to swallow for people who haven't dealt with racism or anything like that. I felt like it was a really, you know, not like an introduction because it's everywhere, but you know, it was a really good story to kind of get into that mindset of, you know, how things are happening. Amanda just had to check and make sure we were recording.
Yeah. Not again. Yeah. I'm like, oh, we've gotten too far now again.
It's easy for anyone to understand and empathize with. It's hard to talk about because personally I've never experienced racism as a white passing Métis person.
Right.
But actually I might be First Nations.
Yeah.
Unsure. You know, it's so hard, like when your mom or your grandma goes to residential school.
Yes.
You know, they're just kind of.
There's so much history there that was probably
lost. And I feel like my mom said that, oh, maybe, you know, granny just said she was Métis because it was easier than saying you were First Nations.
I wonder so if you sad, tried like a 23andMe. Might be fun. That's a whole nother.
I am not trying 23andMe. No? No, they just got like they just went bankrupt or something and they're selling all their information to the government.
Stop. Okay. Take it back. Please don't sue us for name dropping. Just kidding. Yeah, no, that's interesting. And I can definitely relate. Like I'm mixed myself. I'm Cree, Mohawk, I'm English. And like I have, you know, white passing identity as well. And so it's kind of hard because it's like you feel indirect racism. Yeah. Like you'll feel it like in passing.
Yes.
You kind of know that.
And you don't know how to react.
You don't know how to react. You know that you know like that it's there. But you don't necessarily know how to react exactly or like, and everyone's individual experiences are so different. And so this is the kind of book where it's like, this isn't my experience. So it feels difficult to speak on. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, racism is such a deep topic and it's so individual and.
But it's everywhere.
But it's everywhere. And I appreciated the author's take on putting it together and portraying it in a story like this, where it was thought provoking and it did kind of put me in that seat where, you know, I felt some of that heartbreak and I felt, you know, uneasy.
Especially, as mothers and reading about, you know, children. Like, how do you have that discussion with your child about, like, police and, like, you know, racism and all of that stuff? Like, it's so...
And it's...
It's such a hard thing to even kind of...
Wrap your head around.
Yeah.
And face. And then knowing that you're going to have to teach your children how to face that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's all very... Yes, it's very deep. It's a very deep topic. And, but...
But it's an important one.
It's important, yeah. And so I appreciated the opportunity to learn on it a little bit more and to hear this kind of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's there's like five kind of, you know, important characters in the book. There's Soot, the kid, the author, Rennie the limo driver.
That's his name, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Kelly.
And Kelly is multiple people because he meets a few different Kellys.
Yeah, and you never know. Is it the same Kelly?
Yeah. There's a main Kelly. I think his favorite Kelly.
Yeah.
But a bit of a love interest.
Yeah. like a romance, racism.
Yeah. Like initially, because I heard some mixed reviews on this one.
Okay.
And I ended up, so I started off with the physical copy.
Yeah.
And then I kind of felt the fire under my ass to finish it. Mm-hmm. So I ended up moving on to the audiobook because sometimes I'll do that just to like
get it going.
Because I mean, you can multitask a little bit with the audiobooks, but I took it in the same way, I want to say, except when I was listening to it, I did kind of catch some of the humor a little bit more than when I was reading it.
Yeah.
Because I want to say, like, when it starts off, there's this, like, kind of funny...
funny opening scene.
Like, these funny opening... Yeah, this funny opening scene that the author describes. And then it sort of peters off where it's a little more serious and a little more thought-provoking, deep.
But there's still a little, like...
There's still some quips in there where when I was listening to it and I heard the narrator sort of say it a certain way, I was... more privy to the humor in certain scenarios. But I did hear some mixed reviews where people were a little bit like they felt the drop after, like they were expecting a little more of that author's humor that we heard in the very first beginning part of the book. But I mean, I took it for like, okay, I'm going to go on the ride of being like reflecting on what this is really about.
Yeah. It can't all be just funny and like, you got to get serious.
Yes.
Especially about the topic that it is, right?
But then it was also done with that, like magical realism.
Yes.
So that was unique for sure.
Yeah, I really like that.
Mm-hmm. What about the pacing? Like, how did you feel about the pacing?
I did like the pacing. I think I liked the author's chapters more just because they weren't as sad.
I know.
And heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But it was nice to get the background on Soot and where his life was heading to. And, you know, it's not all, like, it's such a juxtaposition. You read about this, like, really successful Black American author, and then you read about this child in rural South mm-hmm. who's just being bullied and harassed. And yep. it's such a different story, right? So mm-hmm. you, like, I found myself looking forward to the author's
okay.
stuff more. But it was well-paced. The writing was really good. Nothing stood out with the writing. It was just well done.
There was a bit of a, like, consistency as well between the two chapters where there's some imagination mm-hmm. and that's where the magical realism came in, was like Soot is taught by his parents to be invisible.
Yes.
And so you're like, is that real? Because certain instances come up in the book where you're not sure, like, oh, is he actually going invisible, or is this a metaphor?
Yeah, because his parents were like, oh, he's actually invisible. And you're like, are you being for real right now?
Right. Yes. And then the author suffers from a condition mm-hmm. Where he doesn't, like, he'll make up a lot of stories, and it's how he translates it into his writing as well.
But it's like he's literally seeing these things.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's very vivid for him.
So when he's describing stuff, you're like, is this actually happening?
Yeah. So the whole thing is just a mind bender.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't know. I liked that. I thought it was cool.
I did like it.
Yeah.
The reveal at the end is so wild.
Yep. We're not going to spoil shit.
No,
but
you got to read it.
You got to read it.
Yeah. The reveal at the end is it really makes you think, and mm-hmm. you really have to, like, I think I need to read this book again.
Yeah.
To kind of just, like, now that I know what I know, mm-hmm. go back and see if there's any, like, you know, foreshadowing, or, like, you know, try to figure it out more. But I think it's unfigureoutable.
Yep. There was one moment of foreshadowing that I noticed. And it's not necessarily a spoiler, so don't worry. But there is a little passage, like a quotations in the beginning of the book that I noticed come up later on at the very end. Not a spoiler, but it's like...
Just referencing.
It's a reference. So mm-hmm. imagine I can read it. So when you see yourself in the mirror, do you like what you see?
I try not to look. I think a lot of people like me are like that.
When you say people like me, what do you mean? And initially, like, that was the very first thing I read when I picked up the book. And it just felt like, you know, it kind of breaks your heart. Mm-hmm. Like, something like that breaks your heart. And then you get into this book. And then there's a point later on where they're talking about Soot's mother, how she wants to protect him, protect you from... So she said, they say... Protect you from bullies, protect you from cops, protect you from judges, protect you from mirrors that you would look into and see something less than beautiful. And I liked that came up again because it was like, it was really impactful, that beginning part for me. And then it comes full circle into that last part of the book.
Kudos to you for noticing, because sometimes I listen on like 1.5 speed and I'm just like missing everything.
I ended up, I had the physical book as well that I would kind of like, if there was a part that I really liked or enjoyed, I would make sure that I kind of like wrote it down or whatever.
Smart.
So I tried to be proactive about that.
Yeah.
There's another part at the very end that we thought we would read too, where it's a conversation between Soot and the author.
And it just really kind of tied up the whole ending of the book. And I think it'll kind of tie up our review, because I don't want to go too deep into anything.
And I don't want to give any spoilers too much, because I want everyone to still read it. So Amanda's going to be reading for Soot. I'm going to be reading for the author. And this is just a short conversation they have.
So that's it. Everything's fixed now, right?
That's a dangerous word.
But isn't that what we all want? To believe that everything's fixed?
What if it wasn't fixed? What if you could only hope to help?
Well, that's anticlimactic.
But it's real, and reality is something you continue to struggle with.
What if it doesn't help? None of it. What if I screamed and shook my fist up at the heavens only to have my voice swallowed up, only to still be invisible?
Then at least you said something, even if you had to use someone else's voice to do it. Have you noticed that? Throughout all of this, you still haven't used his name? His real name, I mean. Or your own, for that matter.
Maybe next time.
Why?
Names would just make it true. All of it. Not just true, but real. I'm not so sure we can let it be real. I'm not so sure we could face that reality.
We? What else could we do?
Oh, goosebumps.
I know. Yes. So I love this. And I'll just sort of like bring up the invisible thing when I'm trying, because they bring it up in this conversation, and it's, you know, about like Soot saying like, what if I screamed and shook my fists only to have my voice swelled up and be still invisible? Mm-hmm. And that's just like the whole theme there is like, he's invisible. Do his words matter?
Yeah.
Is being an activist, like, is that going to matter?
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, but then the author says, at least you said something. So yeah. That was very important.
It is very important.
I like that. I enjoyed that part.
Oh, so good book.
Yeah, good book. I think we'll wrap up Hell of a Book. And please pick it up. And if you have comments or feedback that you want to DM to us, we'd love to hear your thoughts too.
Yeah.
And then next up,
Broken Country.
Yeah. So we're going to talk on two books. Second one's Broken Country.
One more time.
Yeah.
So Broken Country by Claire Leslie Hall. Such a beautiful atmospheric book. You know, it's an emotional story about love, loss, the weight of the past. There's dual timelines, again, exploring how the past echoes in the future, how love can heal and complicate, and ultimately how we find strength in the face of tragedy.
It takes place in rural England and follows a woman named Beth. She lives a quiet life on a farm with her husband, Frank, but that all changes when a man named Gabriel reappears. We learn that he is her past love from a summer when they were 17, and there are a lot of unresolved feelings and secrets.
Ooh. In the past, we have Beth trying to hold her family together while dealing, but not really dealing with, the grief of a profound loss. In the past, we discover how her and Gabriel's love is formed and then falls apart. There's also a murder mystery element with a twist that we did not see coming.
No, that one, yeah, it kept me on the edge of my seat. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely gripping.
It's such a nice, like, I'm going to say it's a nice read. It's like heartbreaking
it
and
is.
Horrible.
Yes.
But it's, I mean, like, it's such a gets you engrossed in the story
yep.
type of read, which mm-hmm. is books that I like. I like feeling like I'm part of the story,
mm-hmm.
that I can feel everything that's happening,
mm-hmm.
that I can like picture the setting in my mind and I'm like, oh, there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said in the last episode, I devoured this book.
Yeah.
I love when a story just hooks you in and you just prioritize reading it. Like, no, I'm not going to do laundry. I'm going to finish my book.
Yep.
Where the Crawdad Sing was like that for me. And I found myself after reading that one, like chasing another book that would have that same impact on me. Don't get me wrong though. Like I've read some amazing, deep and thoughtful books, but I like the absolute page turner
yes.
feeling. Right.
But like, not like a scary horror page turner.
No, just like invested. Like
yeah.
I care about these people.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I care about this storyline and I'm in it. I'm in, like, I feel like, immersed.
Yes.
Yes. It's an, like, I'm immersed in the story. I just really appreciated how vivid it was. I really felt connected to the characters and like, I felt their emotions.
It also helps when you have like a sweet British lady reading to you.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like I was just like, it's like she's talking right to me and telling me what happened to her.
Exactly.
A couple of the twists really threw me for a loop too. Like I'm definitely recommending this one to everyone. If they want like a beautiful story that keeps you on the edge of your seat, but also has you savoring the plot, this one's such a good read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you audiobooked it? Did you read it at all or?
No, I audiobooked the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I did half and half.
Half and half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would listen and then I would read it because I loved the narrator. But I don't, I'm so spoiled. I'm so used to like dual narrators now where if it's the woman's point of view and there's the man speaking,
mm-hmm.
then it will be the male narrator who speaks for him. Not
right.
like the woman being like,
oh,
you know what I mean?
Like putting on a voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it just doesn't like track.
Yeah,
yeah.
But because I love a British voice.
Yes.
Like an English accent.
Oh, me too. Especially British countryside.
Yeah.
You're like,
so
whatever
she would
vibe.
Talk, whenever she would talk for Frank or Gabriel, I was like, that's fine. You're
yeah.
good. You're
I'll
good at it.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She still got me vibing.
Yes, it was good. So what are the characters we got? We got Beth. We've got
Frank as her husband. We've got Gabriel is the lover of the past who
yeah.
resurfaces.
We got Jimmy, Frank's brother.
We've got Bobby is Frank and Beth's son.
And then who's Gabriel's son?
Gabriel's son was Leo.
Leo,
so
right,
the two
right.
of them move back into Gabriel's childhood home, which
because
is right on the same kind of property area close to Beth now.
Yes. And then we got Nina, who is Jimmy's
fiance. Mary's. And Tess is Gabriel's vile mother.
Oh, I could not stand that woman.
She's just anus.
I liked the pacing of the book, too.
I did. Yep. So the time jumps are not.
Yes.
Like they're not all over the place. Yeah. They don't leave you confused. You're definitely like, oh, I'm getting a backstory. I'm feeling like I'm getting invested in these characters. It's the building blocks of the story. Then we're present day, and I feel like there's a foundation where
it was like the past was just before.
Yeah.
And then there was like a 1968 or something.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I loved it. And it was, it wasn't done where you're like, you know, there's no boring chunk of the book where you're just trying to get through it. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, there's the trial, but at that stage, you are.
It was a very long chapter.
It's a long chapter,
I was like, oh, these chapters are so short and nice. And then I get to the trial one and I was like, what the mother?
Oh, my goodness. But you're still, I don't know. By the time you get to that stage, you're just like.
You just need to know what happens. And the plot twist?
Oh, the plot twist. Yeah, we can't give you spoilers because we want you to read it.
But I had zero idea.
Yeah, please, as soon as you read this plot twist, send us a message and be like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I need to talk with more people about this book.
Yes. If you were Beth, would you have chosen Frank or Gabriel?
Okay, so in the beginning, you don't really learn a lot about Frank, and he kind of seems like this sad little desperate boy. And you're just like,
the impression of him is
all you read about is like Gabriel being like this sweet, nice, hot.
Plus, this is Beth's first love. Like, she's 17. Yeah. Remember how hard love hit when you were 17.
Right, yeah.
Damn, right? Mm-hmm,
yeah.
And Gabriel, I don't know.
You just feel so much for Gabriel.
You do.
And you want them. You're like rooting for them.
Yes. They're so similar in so many ways.
Yeah.
But then they go off to, like, he goes off to university and like his life just changes and lifestyle changes, season of life. And it's just not, it's not the right time for them.
Yeah.
And then he comes back in her life and you're like, oh, is it still the right time? But by that time, we care about Frank.
Yeah. We do care about Frank. But I feel like I didn't care about Frank until, like, the trial.
When you find out what an ace he is?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I feel like I didn't. Like, I was like, oh, Gabriel. And then, like, all this stuff was happening. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, kind of felt bad for Frank. But I was just like, whatever.
Same.
He doesn't feel like. It just didn't feel like she loved him as much as Gabriel. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because we don't get that backstory for them. We get this, like, more like he steps in and he's a stand-up guy.
Yeah, and then when you learn about that then and everything he did, you're like, oh, okay, Team Frank.
So, yeah, we're Team Frank.
Team Frank, all the way. Yeah. I think so.
We're going to get shirts.
I am actually going to make a shirt.
Team Frank.
Team Frank. Yeah. Broken Country on the back.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Shout out Claire Leslie Hall. Thank you for the great book.
What would you do in Beth's situation?
Oh, my gosh.
Deep question.
Ooh, super deep. Yeah. Because, I mean, well.
Without giving any spoilers away,
There's
right?
a spoiler element there.
Oh,
with,
it's so hard.
With, like, the children.
Right.
I'll just say the children.
Yeah.
And so her being a mother, it's like she's gravitating towards building a relationship with Gabriel's son.
Yeah.
And as a mother, it's like, yes, I can see her, like, she ends up being in his life.
She kept referring to them as her stand-in family.
Yes.
Which is, like, so
sad. Oh, yeah, it is. And I can see her wanting to get that, like, get that feeling from spending time with Leo.
Totally.
In lieu of Bobby.
Do you think if therapists were involved, it would have been a different story?
I think if Gabriel just never damn came back,
maybe
it would have been fine. Yeah. But then we wouldn't get this book.
Unresolved feelings still, right?
Yes, that's the thing.
There was a lot of closure at the end, I think.
There was a lot of closure. And I feel like, yeah, I'm happy with the way it ended up because I think that's how it should have been, even though we had this huge, enormous, lengthy issue.
Yeah.
Like, or just like it, like, uprooted their lives.
Literally. Yeah.
Literally.
Like, it was crazy.
And then, you know, I won't spoil it, but
Yeah, so you have this big issue happen. How do you, I don't even how I'd react or like what I would do.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But I just do what Beth did because I know how it turns out.
That's a lucky lady though, because it seems like she's got like a lot of people that are like, you know, really like fond of her. Yeah. And more than just fond. It's like she's got like...
She got two lovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think everyone also should read this book.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to say. Every book I love, I'm just going to be like,
Please read it. Yeah.
Just read it. I kind of would compare this, like you said, to Tom Lake.
Yeah. And Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yeah.
Because like Where the Crawdads Sing had that like... It was like
Forbidden love.
It was forbidden love.
Right.
Yeah. And there was like the murder mystery. There's a trial. Right. It does time jumps where you're like present day trial.
Yes.
And but this one's set in where they like because they're near the Crawdad Sing.
Oh, because
they're in like
know.
The
Mississippi.
Louisiana, something like that.
That sounds
crawdads
familiar.
Yeah.
don't ask me hard questions. Yeah.
Put on the spot there. But there is like it's got that same vibe. But then Tom Lake is taking you to that countryside,
cozy country,
where you're picturing
Meryl Streep audiobook.
You're picturing their farm. You're picturing that setting.
You're like, I'm gonna go.
You can almost feel the sun on your skin.
Pick cherries in an orchard.
Yes,
and that be my whole life.
Yeah, so it's a good like combo of those ones.
Also, a little tidbit: Broken Country is a nod to another book called The Go-Between by L.P. Hartley. Mm-hmm. So that is also Forbidden Love Affair, Catastrophic Repercussions.
Oh,
so I think I need to read that.
We're gonna
one.
Add that one to the TBR too, because
I think so.
That's a good one.
I have so many books to read.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
just throw another one on there.
Speaking of so many books to read, our next book that we're going to discuss for July is going to be, we're going to be discussing You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty by Akweke Emeze. And we actually had read our book club is reading this one, and our book club had also read another book by this author called The Death of Vivek Oji. And
it was
we
great.
All loved it. It
was so
good. Such a good one. Like it was, it's probably my top five.
It was so, we're just reviewing another book here. Mm-hmm. It was so like unexpected.
Yep.
I want to say.
And it's not one that I would have picked up. And that's why I love Book Club is because all of our members will take turns sort of contributing books to read. And someone will choose one that I wouldn't have chosen. And it ends up being stellar and like just in my top five.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to read this one. Just because we loved one of her other books so much. So we'll be discussing that one in July. We're also reading it with our book club. So we'll be doing a discussion with them.
Yeah.
If y'all want to join in, read along, and then listen to our next episode in July.
Yeah. Send us questions before like end of June-y?
Yeah.
Kind of? Yeah. Yeah. End of June if you want to send
feedback,
us stuff.
Comments. And we'd love to comment on your contributions to what you think of the book too.
Also for July... we're reading 1984 with our book club.
Yes.
And Emma, I love you.
But shout out Emma for...
I don't know how I'm going to review that book.
She has been wanting us to read this book for like a good 6 months.
I think so.
She's always trying to get us. And now her time has finally come.
Okay, we'll do a review for that one.
We'll do like a mini review.
Yeah, okay.
But we are also going to be leaving it up to you, the listeners, to decide on the book that we review for August.
Yes.
That we'll be reading after the You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty book.
Yeah.
So we have three options. They're going to be put into a poll.
Mm-hmm. So the first one is Wedding People. So it's about an unexpected wedding guest named Phoebe Stone who arrives at the Grand Cornwall Inn while a wedding's happening. But it's a place she's always wanted to go to forever. She's heartbroken. She's mistaken for a wedding guest. And Phoebe and the bride actually form this unlikely friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a funny, tender novel about chance encounters.
Mm, I like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would be a nice one after some of these heavier reads.
I think so.
Like to vote for Blue Sisters by Coco Mellors, this one's about three estranged siblings. They return to their family home in New York following their beloved sister's death. So this one's a story of grief, identity, and complexities of family. So I know this one's going to be a lot of, like, family secrets.
Are you, you're an only?
I'm an only child, so.
So maybe this one will hit me hard because I have four sisters.
Yeah, yeah. You might relate to some of the complexities.
Probably.
Themed in this book.
Yeah.
So there's that one. last but not least, the other option we have is The God of the Woods. This one is by Liz Moore. I don't know if anyone's read Long Bright River, but I haven't. That one is another book of hers. I have heard amazing things about that book, and they are turning it, or they did already, into a show. So I know Liz Moore's got some really, like, good sort of suspenseful thriller vibes. So this one is, it's set in a remote part of the Adirondack Mountains, and it's a wealthy family that controls some land, and they have their own vacation home on the land, but also there is a sectioned off of a summer camp for children.
Okay.
So this one might be, like,
Spooky scary
for summer. And yeah, because it definitely does get dark. There's a child that disappears from the property, but then another child reappears years later.
Different kid?
I think that's the way it came across to me. And
sounds suspicious.
It sounds, yeah, it says another child. So yeah, there is another child that reappears. And so there's an investigation. There's lots of secrets that come out. So that's another sort of thriller that's up.
Wild. But we'll put the poll up. Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday coming up.
Yeah, and then you guys can vote, and please vote, otherwise it's going to be very sad if nobody votes.
Yes, yeah, and then we'll just have to, Amanda and I will vote. And
we'll fight it.
Yeah, out. And we'll do rock, paper, scissors. Just kidding.
I said we're going to fight, and you're like, no, rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, that is fighting to me. That's vicious. I've had a couple really heated rounds of rock, paper, scissors myself.
We'll do the tortilla slap challenge. I've always wanted to do that.
Oh, I'll think about it.
Please don't hit me with the tortilla.
So if you can spare us from the tortilla slaps, vote on one of the three books we mentioned, and that will be our choice.
Awesome. And don't forget to follow and rate and review wherever you listen to our podcast. And you can find us on Instagram at
Litty Titty Book Club.
Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully we don't have to record this again.
Yeah. Otherwise, third time's a charm.
Oh my God, I will cry.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.